Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio, I'm Marcello Rolando. The mission of the Reasonable Voice and the Reasonable Voices working together on our Blog Talk Radio shows is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for a better education, humanity and world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal opportunity. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world, and embracing creativity and political unity as solutions to our challenges. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio, where my guest today is Ann Scott, who is the president and CEO of the Charlottesville Area Community Foundation. Now, if you don't know what that means, you're about to find out with my lovely guest, Ann Scott. Ann, how are you?
I'm fine, Marcello. How are you?
I'm terrific and very happy to hear your voice. I know I've spoken with other people with the organization, and of course you're in the news a great deal, so I'm reporting on you, but this is really the first time we have had an opportunity to speak. So right off the bat, if I may, let me tell our listeners that I believe since 1967, your organization has presented $53 million in grants to hundreds of nonprofits. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. The cumulative amount of grants we've given is $53 million.
Wow. And in 2012 alone, it was $7.9 million.
Yes, that's correct.
I think those are impressive numbers by any standard. The more I hear about Charlottesville Area Community Foundation, there's just so much to it, and you are there, it seems, 24/7 helping those who need the help to make Charlottesville even more. Not that Charlottesville is any slouch of a place. It's a great city with tremendous history and art and culture. And you, your organization seems to help make all that happen.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to describe it, Marcello, because that figure of 7 million, I think our recent figure for 2013 was more approaching 8 million.
Wow.
It's really a gift from the community, and we're here to facilitate that giving. So we provide that conduit that connects givers, and I say givers because it doesn't have to be large philanthropists. It can also include a wide range of smaller, more modest gifts from all sorts of community members. And we provide a place for people who want to give to come,
mm-hmm.
and we work with those people to ensure that those funds go out to a wide range of issues, of projects, of activities spanning the arts, the environment, education, health services, human services. So we give typically over 1,000 different grants and distributions every year.
Fantastic. Tell us, I guess we can't talk about the CACF without talking history. You've been around since 1967. That alone is history and history making. Give us some sort of background for those of us who are from out of town.
Yeah, well, I think in the very beginning, if you're going way back to 1967, a group of community leaders with a lot of caring and a lot of foresight, and again, I think that's characteristic of Charlottesville and the area in which we live.
Yes.
But they voluntarily came together. I think at that point they had understood and learned about the community foundation model, which, as you will know, is in many communities across America. And they decided and mobilized and organized to create one initially it was for Charlottesville Albemarle.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout our history, we have expanded, so we actually also serve the seven counties,
wow,
including Albemarle, that surround Charlottesville. So that includes counties such as Fluvanna, Louisa, Green, Buckingham, Orange. And that's a really important part. That was a big step in our history, and it's a really important central part of our mission as well to really ensure that we're reaching both Charlottesville and Albemarle County, as well as those other
surrounding counties, areas. Yes. And that's your service area to this day, yes?
That is our service area. And those few community leaders that came together, we were very small in the initial days, and then we got a few sort of launching gifts that put us to 1 or 2 million, and year on year we've grown since then, and our current total assets that we're managing is now $120 million. So,
wow.
So that is an endowed asset we have for the future of the community and the service area that we are here to provide support to.
And as you say, you are the conduit. Organizations like Obama Works Fund Grant come to you, and individuals as well, and they make donations, and you are the bridge that gets those to individuals and organizations who can use it to help our area, develop our area, and develop individuals, educational projects. Is that accurate?
That's very accurate,
yeah.
And that comes in two forms. Much of it goes to our area nonprofits, and we do have over 1,200 nonprofit organizations in our service area, and that is everything, including Boys and Girls Club, Children and Youth Family Services, a whole range of large and small nonprofits that provide support. The Rockfish Wildlife Sanctuary is another.
Yes.
So a wide range, and a lot of the giving goes to those nonprofits where donors have a particular passion or interest, be that environmental conservation or the arts or early learning, mental health. Then at times, we've brought together a wide range of people across the community, or groups of people have come to us, and they've identified a need. So we have something we call the Community Mental Health Coalition that is a project we've provided funding to. It doesn't support any one nonprofit or activities and operating costs. It supports that coalition effort where a lot of nonprofits came together and they said, you know, we're seeing that mental health services here are too fragmented, and
yes,
as a result, people are falling through the cracks and not getting the services that they need. Can you help us? And so there, for over a three-year period, we provided support to that coalition, and they've really made a difference in terms of better referral. So the people who were falling through the cracks before are now tracked, are able to get the support that they need, and are no longer falling through the cracks.
That's a major accomplishment. I mean, I know we have mental health in the headlines so much for all the wrong reasons. It's wonderful to know that an organization like yours is able to respond to a collective effort.
And part of the community, the sense of community foundation, is that we're here over time to understand what needs might emerge. So the Mental Health Coalition is a recent example, but prior to that, we've also gotten involved in issues such as affordable housing. We're working as well with some neighborhoods in the Charlottesville area that have more limited access to services, to see what we can do about that. So it evolves and it takes shape over time as the community evolves and changes and identifies opportunities, identifies needs that are emerging. And so that sort of flexible part that we have, and that piece where we get engaged over time as things change, is a really important part of a community foundation.
And the way you sort of function on a day-to-day basis, it seems.
Yeah, we have a team. Well, in fact, all of our team members are passionate, but we have a grants team that part of what they do is they keep themselves very knowledgeable. They track intelligence around emerging trends in the community, gather information where we can. So we try to always stay very informed and have our finger on the pulse of what's going on in the community.
I know I've spoken at least to, I think, Brendan some time ago on one of the radio shows, and that was quite informative. You've touched on so much so quickly, actually. I know people approach you to receive grants, but how does one approach CACF to be a benefactor? to give,
yeah,
to offer?
You really just call us on the phone. You just have a desire to give. We'll take it from there in terms of working with your current situation and where you are in your life. So someone with a desire to give might be at a point where they are really seriously considering planning for the future. So and they want to and they have the means to set up an actual fund, which we call a donor advised fund. But we also have many young people who just want to get engaged and want to find a way to connect with the community. And so we have something we call the Future Fund for people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. And those people are giving $200 a year. We also have people who want to contribute. We have something called the Community Endowment Fund that is really for anybody who wants to contribute any amount. So we have people who will just say, I'd like to give $50 to the Community Endowment Fund. So we have these different funds that can accommodate a wide range of people's different needs, and we're always very open to hearing how people would like to give, because it's our job really to figure out what would be the best way to make that happen, and that might lead us to offering new kinds of products or services that might fit different groups of people. But we have gifts ranging from, you know, very, very large gifts that go into multi-million dollar funds to people who give us $50 a year, and we value both very, very much.
Sure, I can understand that. And they, of course, the gift by through a will and testament.
That's another way that we can offer. And you can also, the other thing I really like about community foundations is that you have control of how you would like to structure things. So some people want to structure their giving just around a nonprofit organization that they care very much about. And so they set up the fund to really benefit that particular nonprofit. Whereas others say, you know, I'm very passionate about the environment, and so we can set up a fund that we call a field of interest fund that just focuses on the environment and can give to a range of environmental causes. So we can set it up in a way that people would like. Often if people just care about, and we have very many of these people, they just care about Charlottesville and the surrounding counties, they can leave a bequest, as you mentioned, in their will that goes to our community endowment, and that's a special honor because they're entrusting the community foundation to understand and know and use that gift towards emerging community trends, as I mentioned.
Yes.
So the person sitting today might not know what all those trends might be in 10 years' time, but by giving to the community endowment, they entrust the community foundation to stay abreast of that and give to the most relevant and pressing opportunities or concerns.
And the community endowment fund covers things like arts and culture and education, the environment, healthcare.
Absolutely, all of those things. And education can be pre-primary education or high school education or supporting tutors in the schools what they call navigators to help high school seniors apply to college. So it can be any part of the education life cycle. We also have a pretty large number of scholarship funds. So sometimes people will like to set up a scholarship fund in association with a school that they would really, or an institute of higher learning that they would really like to support. Or they would like to set up a scholarship fund in memory of a loved one.
Sure.
And those funds, again, the same idea. They have an endowed base, but they provide an annual amount that can be a scholarship gift to a student. So we have over 30 scholarship funds today. We also provide a service to the nonprofit community. So as you probably know, nonprofits, it's a struggle sometimes to meet operating costs, and many of them have a growing client base, or they simply, if they're in the arts, want to reach more and more people. And sometimes having an endowed fund that the nonprofit knows is there and they can draw on to support their growth or support them in times of emergency need. We manage about 39 endowments for individual nonprofits today.
Wow, that's so impressive. How does one become a member of the Circle of Friends of CACF?
Well, the Circle of Friends, and that's a name we came up with because this group is really important to us. They're a group, to enter the Circle of Friends, it's someone who's given us a $500 gift in any given year, and that enters you into the Circle of Friends. Yeah. And many of the people in our Circle of Friends are that. They provide a gift of $500 or maybe a little more to our community endowment. And that's a way to say you're a friend of the Community Foundation because it's through you that we're really putting in place that community endowment fund to provide for that wide range of needs and opportunities you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is incredibly impressive. As I said, every time I look into or talk with someone with CACF, I find out I'm peeling the onion. There just is more and more and more. And as you say, I hate to use such an old cliche of a word, a conduit, but that is what you are. It's money flows to and through you.
It's sometimes hard for people to access that because it can get a little bit complicated when you talk about all the different funds and the types of funds and the ways to give. But really, that is the essence of what we want to do. We want to facilitate philanthropy or giving, whichever word you prefer, and direct that in the best ways to have the greatest positive impact on the community. And we have, you know, 10 kinds of funds that do that in different ways, but in essence, that's what we're trying to accomplish. Part of the history story is that I recently joined about 6 months ago, so I'm stepping into very big shoes from my predecessor, who very successfully led the foundation for many years. Mm-hmm. And part of what we want to do now is build on all that, and we're taking a moment now to think about, well, where can we go with that next? And if you boil it down to how you just describe it, to facilitate giving and philanthropy to have the biggest community impact, we're now having a really fun and really big community conversation. So we've talked to probably over 200 different community members representing nonprofits, representing different segments of our community, representing philanthropists, representing city and county government leaders, and we're just talking to them about how do we build, how do we grow, what can we do more of, what can we do better. And it's been a really validating experience of some of the things that we have done, and it's also really brought out some very, very interesting ideas of more that we could do.
All right, I'm going to interrupt you right there, and this is a fabulous conversation with Ann Scott, President and CEO of Charlottesville Area Community Foundation. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come right back and continue this conversation. An amazing definition of your organization, I think, that we just covered in the last couple of minutes or so, but we'll be right back. This is Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, Blog Talk Radio, my guest, Ann Scott. Stay with us. To the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is Ann Scott. Ann Scott is the president and CEO of the Charlottesville Area Community Foundation, serving not only Charlottesville, but the 7 counties surrounding it. And why don't we jump right in, Ann, to one of the more recent, and I think first-time efforts, Give for Good. I was overwhelmingly impressed.
Well, thank you. And yes, it was a first time for us, and we were overwhelmed, too. We were overwhelmed by the community's generosity on the day. It's an online giving day.
Yes.
And we enlisted over 140 nonprofits to participate and gave them a lot of training on how to use social media and other tools to mobilize the community and to mobilize their own donor base leading up to the day.
Mm-hmm.
Alongside that, as the Community Foundation, we did everything that we could to get the word out to the community and partner. We had a lovely partnership with Whole Foods and other community businesses that were really generous. And so we just tried to garner everyone, get the momentum going, mobilize the support. Our target for the day, and this is based on our best knowledge of what the giving target might be for the day for a community of our size, and so we were hoping for 250,000 on the day. And I woke up in the morning early, as I do, mm-hmm. and it was at $30,000 so far, and I thought, okay, good start.
Yes.
And then I went out to walk my dogs as I do, and I came back and it was 60,000, mm-hmm. and I was a bit surprised by that. And thought, oh, this really is rolling. And then I drove into the office and got into the office, and we had planned to we have a central mall area, and so we planned up to be up there on site on the day just for anyone from the community that wanted to drop in. So I headed up there around 10 in the morning, and it was over $100,000. So I had begun to think, well, this is really fantastic and interesting. Where might it end? And the nonprofits were absolutely tremendous and creative. One nonprofit, I think they baked 3,000 cookies with Give for Good and distributed those. And another one developed tea bags where the holder on the tea bag had the Give for Good logo. So everybody was getting the word out, and the giving just kept growing and yeah. growing and growing and growing. So I think we hit that 250,000 mark around two in the afternoon.
I was going to say it was midday, yes.
Yeah, around that time.
Yeah.
And the reason that the businesses were so important is they provided matching funds and prize funds, and we just lived this. We hadn't experienced it before, mm-hmm. but through the giving day approach, having prizes throughout the day mm-hmm. actually garners enthusiasm and momentum, and we found that to be the case. And also some of our partners that we work with, so Payne Ross is a media partner that we have, and they had the weather broadcast down there from the day. So it was a real community effort. And so I kept checking it throughout the day, getting home from work and doing what I do and before bed. And it was up to almost $500,000.
Yes.
So it was just incredible. And really, it was the community in action.
It goes right to what we were talking about, though, at the end of our last segment. You and your organization, both past and present, you're like the hub in the wheel, and you're a magnet drawing in those who can benefit from your financial assistance, those who want to give financial assistance. And, you know, we come together and we meet in CACF, and then things grow. I can't say I wasn't surprised, because like most people, a day of $500,000 donations and gifts is impressive. And if you say, I knew that was going to happen, you probably are taking too much credit. But I have to say that the idea, the concept of CACF makes Give for Good the first time up at bat such a possibility, such a probability even, because it is in and of itself, again, we're back to that word, it's the conduit. It's flowing ebb and tide.
What's also really interesting is 47 years ago, we were talking about history earlier.
Yes.
This obviously wouldn't have been the way
yes.
the community could respond and give, but they had ways to do it, which they did in our inception. But what I found really neat is here we found a new tool, a new way mm-hmm. In the age of technology in which
yes.
we live to facilitate giving and make giving happen. And so we were able to tap into that thing that they called going viral.
Yes.
And have it all happen and raise that tremendous amount of money in one day, and also be able to flow that directly through to our nonprofits. The other two things that I was really pleased about and that I always think about from where I sit is we are always thinking about our entire service area. So we were especially interested to know that nonprofits from all of the outlying counties that we serve also felt that they could participate on the day. And,
yes.
And we did have a good range of nonprofits from our surrounding counties, as well as the ones based here in Charlottesville, Albemarle, signed up. The other thing that was what made me so happy and was so encouraging is a little over 16% of the donors on the day
mm-hmm.
were new donors.
Yes, yes.
And so to have also a tool, an approach that can also attract new donors to the joys of giving really was
yes.
was something that I was really happy to see.
And you're right. It is to the method. It's the medium. It is the mouse clicking age. And isn't it wonderful to see people gather this way to give, and they did. Everyone stepped up to the plate or the computer, as it may be, and responded.
Yeah, and I'm sure you think about this a lot, being in the media today, and that word of accessibility and access to instant information, but access to giving is also very immediate now and
yes.
very broad.
Yes.
And in 1967, when the Community Foundation started, we had some very, very generous individuals and community leaders that came together, and that would have been through personal interactions
yes.
those days. But now, if you think over our history, how that has widened and how many people can participate instantly, electronically,
yes.
or technologically through that giving on one day is something really amazing to behold.
Certainly in this case, Give for Good, and in a lot of other areas of nations' responsibilities and obligations and benefits, the public is moving. You know, when people complain about, oh, this trend or that trend, or when is it going to stop? It's the public, it's the numbers of people in many areas of the country who have discovered this technology and who have discovered in them as well a desire to help, to share, to benefit others, and they're doing it. And it's people-driven. That's the thing I'm trying to say. It's people-driven. It's the 99% working with the 1% and vice versa. How's that?
Yeah. I think that's right. And I think across the entire population always, I think, you know, one of the things I love best about this country and is that spirit of giving, whether that's
yes.
helping out a neighbor when they're, you know, when they've just had a tornado come through or what have you, or whether that very big philanthropic giving by people who have built up companies and fortunes. But I think what I'm seeing is maybe that distinction between philanthropy and giving is aided through technology and communication that we have today, and sort of the rapid and instant communication that we can have access to. Maybe that distinction between philanthropy and giving is blending.
And may blend in other ways.
Yeah.
And
so the how is changing.
Yes.
But that spirit of giving, I do believe, is core and always has been to our country. And I think the whole Community Foundation movement and the community foundations in most, if I don't know if all states, but most, if not all states in America are really, I hope, play an important role in that.
Yes. Tell me, now that your first Give for Good, I'm sure it won't be your last, but your first Give for Good is behind you at $500,000 the first time out, where does CAACF go from here? What's your future? What are your plans, short-term, long-term? What do you see out there in the big picture?
Well, I do see us continuing to grow, continuing to keep close to the core of what we do, which
mm-hmm.
is facilitating philanthropy and giving and improving the quality of life. What I'm seeing is that there's potentially more that we can do. We're going to keep doing all that we're doing, but we're probably going to be moving in the direction of doing a bit more to convene and connect people around giving, to really see through and resolve some of the challenging community trends that we see around us, and also to really be able to respond to some of the opportunities. And I'll give you a couple of examples of both. Some of the trends that I think are very live discussion in our community are about job creation and the creation of jobs that pay a living wage. Affordable housing continues to be an issue I hear a lot about.
Yes.
For certain segments of our community, access to health care to promote better health outcomes, early learning and development opportunities, so preschool opportunities. We also have a growing segment of our population over 55 years old, so how to make sure that we have appropriate services available to that growing segment of our population. So these are just some examples, but through our grant making and through our convening, those issues that I just mentioned are things that you could tackle in a 6 to 12 month period.
Yes.
They're trends that have built up over time, but the good news is that they can be resolved over time in a sustainable way that also strengthens the systems and the ways of delivering services. So we're probably going to be including in our grant making some larger grants that can try to year on year really make headway on some of those issues. And alongside that, we always have done and we will continue to provide a very wide range of smaller grants that facilitate a whole lot of activities from symphony orchestra to quick start tennis to tutors in schools, whatever the activity might be. I think that's an important part of our future direction. We want to provide a really useful service to our philanthropists. You know, philanthropy is a rapidly evolving field, and there are philanthropists who are advancing the state of philanthropy, if you will, through new tools and new ways of doing philanthropy all the time. And that's across our country. That's actually across the world now. And we want to bring and expose some of that thinking and some of those great ideas to the philanthropists and to the givers who are here in Charlottesville to help them think about their giving and where they want to go with it and what legacy they want to leave through their giving. So I think that's really a doing more message, is doing more to facilitate philanthropy and to provide a really value-added service to philanthropists here in our community. And it's doing more to really be relevant and to demonstrate that we're fulfilling our mission to improve quality of life.
Excellent. That quality of life phrase keeps coming up, and I know it's because it's embedded in your mission and in your heart and mind. You're doing all of this, by the way, with a comparatively small staff, if I'm correct, yes?
With interns all in, we have about 13 in our family today and about 9 permanent staff. So, and then we have a tremendous board. It's a volunteer board, and we have also governance committees as part of that. So all in is probably 45 volunteer community leaders that are providing first-rate leadership to us and really helping to chart the course for the community foundation and to guide us into this future. So we have a tremendous amount of volunteer support around us, and I have to say, because I'm relatively new and have lived and worked in many places in my lifetime, I've been so struck by how much community members from all parts of the community, they just say to me, I see them on the street, they come by and talk to me, and they just say, whatever I can do to help, just call me, let me know. So they're freely offering skills, expertise, relationships they have that might be, you know, might help us to fulfill our mission. So that's another element of the hub.
Yes.
Word. It's not just catering to people who can give funding or financial resources. It's really acting as a hub for community action.
Yes.
And people are so giving of all that they have in terms of other kinds of assets as well, relationships, expertise, skills. So I felt, I've that I've truly felt, and other places I've been, I've not always felt this, but I've truly felt that when people say that to me, they really mean it, and I really
yes.
feel confident to pick up the phone and ask to them whatever that might be,
mm-hmm.
and know that they'll tell me if they can do it. You know, they may say, sorry, not right now, but I think it's a genuine offer that just whatever you need, we want to make the Community Foundation a success in its mission, because the passion is really for the mission. And it's really about the mission for us, not sort of what it brings to the organization.
Yes. You know, I'm from New York. I lived most of my adult life and worked in television and theater in New York, and I love New York. I love it very much. But even when living in New York, I would visit Charlottesville for the history. And now that I live here, at least 4 days a week I live here anyway, I'm constantly being impressed by exactly what you just said, that people here, whether they've been here all their lives or they've moved here as I have in the last 5 or 6, 7 years, they all want Charlottesville and the surrounding Albemarle County and other counties to be the best they can be. They're all pulling together, and it isn't the same in other places. But you're right. You have picked up on something that is genuine. Absolutely.
Yeah, and they want to engage with community because they want their community to thrive.
Yes, yes.
And to be uplifted and vibrant and to have a wide range of really interesting and things going on, number
yes.
one. And number two, they really care about those more challenging trends
yes.
that many, many communities across America are dealing with. But here they also really want to lead the way and be a leader in finding
mm-hmm.
solutions.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I'm sorry we've run out of time, but we should at least give a website or street location, whatever works better for you.
Yeah, sure. Our website is, and I'm told you don't have to say the www.
You don't.
That hates me, right? I did a TV spot for Give for Good, and I started out with a www.
You don't need to do that.
So our website, cacfonline.org, and we're right off of, for those Charlottesville listeners, we're right off the downtown mall on
mm-hmm.
4th Street,
mm-hmm.
southeast, so 114th Street. And so we're really interested always to hear from community members,
mm-hmm.
to talk to community members, and as we've been discussing during this delightful interview with you, that we're really here for anybody, anytime, who wants to get engaged with the community and who wants to give.
And at one point, and by the way, it's been extremely delightful for me as well. Thank you, Anne. But at one point, Anne did mention that one of the easiest ways to give money is to just call them up. So we'll mention that it's area code 434-296-1024. Would that be good, Anne?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so very much. Anne Scott, the President and CEO of Charlottesville Area Community Foundation. They are the conduit between those who want to help and those who want to help. And it is a marvelous position. It is not an easy one. It's done with comparatively few people hard working at it, plus a whole team of volunteers, and then all those who make the donations and all those who take those donations and build wonderful things and lives and relationships and communication and education. I mean, it just goes on and on. I can't thank you enough, Anne, for being on the show, and I certainly can't thank CACF enough ever for Give for Good and all the other marvelous things they do for Central Virginia and everywhere. Thank you, and I wish you all the very best in the future.
Thank you so much.
Bye now.
Bye now.
What's the point? The point is, are we ready to be the heroes who carry the torch of humankind's enduring causes, who enable hope and inspire dreams that will never die? Because that's the whole point of America exceptionalism. On March 18th, the trumpet sounded roll call for 24. Standing in solidarity, three represented three wars, and all those who, though passed over, rose above and beyond the call of duty. A trinity of self-sacrifice, honoring the proclaimed exceptionalism of a many-hued nation. After decades of not being included in Indivisible with Justice for All, we lost many before a presidential handshake and partial national embrace. Having taken the high road, three accepted the Congressional Medal of Honor. Shoulder to shoulder, despite religion, race, and heritage, 24 were finally recognized by most of their nation for their courageous service to an entire nation. America, still two steps forward with one war down, but one step backward with judges unable to agree equality of marriage is justice for all. Online advocates and offline activists of every point of view push, pull, and tug at us in the American shuffle to embody the Declaration of Independence, personify the Gettysburg Address, and chisel in our soul, "I Have a Dream," national character. To those who give and give through decades of wait, be patient, we salute you. For you are the reason the good fight must go on, despite fewer distinctions between the good, the bad, and the ugly. You make the rest of us the point of your mission. What's the point can't be imagined if we don't recognize the Überwelt Wall Street green that is the blinding blizzard aiding and abetting the transition of black and white hats into gray hats. The point is recognizing the few who carry on behalf of the many, for what was parchment captured, but in the wake of Citizens United, is increasingly morally elusive. Justice equals indifference to differences. The point is, we don't have to tolerate GM ignitions, Toyota accelerations, harmful side-affecting numbers-juggled statins, murderous Halliburton BP barons, or drinking water intentionally pumped full of coal ash pushed on us by corporate wheeler dealers and their political cronies. We can join in the good fight for, rather than against, each other, and tax the 1% who created and still profit from America's economic decline. The point? Recognize the tomfoolery of a Paul Ryan poverty definition, the international upward boom of trickle-down, the Bush-Cheney shell game shifting redefinition and redistribution of the poor, the middle class, and the right reasons for war. The point? Elect state and federal government that repairs, not blocks, falling bridges, that chooses carefully construction sites with less potential for sinkholes and mudslides. The point? Don't be fooled by any political party with a 1% agenda, whether corporate-bought tea or conscious clause Terry McAuliffe appointing history-destroying anti-gay Dwight Jones. The point? It's time to reject accepting the lesser of two evils. Now, with eyes, hearts, and minds open, recognize our own Putins and insist on a budget that makes us all better off. That's the point.
Thank you for continuing to listen, support, and share The Reasonable Voice with your friends. We are now accepting offers for your company or organization to advertise with us, and welcome new sponsors for The Reasonable Voice. To apply, please email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining us today and every day, and recommending us to all your friends, both online and offline. And please download our downloadable podcasts. I am Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.